You are listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. This is the Brighton Business Show, and I am Helen Packham. And as always, I am joined with my amazing co-host, Lisa Moore. How are you doing today, Lisa?
I'm doing fine, thank you, Helen. Trying not to get too hot in this weather.
Yes, it's been pretty, pretty muggy, hasn't it? Although the rain is coming, which, of course, you know, just a little welcome relief if we get back to some sunshine. But yes, this is the August recording of the Brighton Business Show, and we aren't in the studio. Oh, I'm a bit sad about that because we love being in the studio, but it doesn't matter because we've got some amazing guests on the show today. I'm really excited to be speaking with three incredible business owners who are all doing amazing things. We're going to be speaking to Natalie Rhea, who's the founder of Life Ladder. We're going to be talking to Ronan Finnegan, who is the co-founder of Space Band. And we are going to be speaking with Hayley Field, the food ninja, which I'm really excited about as well. So great show in store for us today. But let's kick off by speaking with Natalie. Now, I'm really excited about talking to Natalie because her business is all about true potential. And it's kind of, you know, it's really focused around mental wellness. And I love the saying that you had, Natalie, in the information you gave me about every day is an opportunity to step up. Which I really love because as business owners, it's really important for us to be continually doing that, continually tapping into our potential. So I'm really looking forward to speaking to you today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. It's really, really great to be here. And I just love the community spirit as well of the show. So yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool, we've got Radio Reverb's just all about the community, and we've been lucky enough to meet the other presenters, and they're lovely, lovely people. So yes, thank you. So Natalie, tell us, I'm all about the stories. that's what I help people with. I'd love to know a little bit of the story behind what led you to doing this.
Sure. Okay. So I've had my struggles in life, that's for sure. I've had times where things have felt a bit out of my control, and my mental well-being has hit some lows. And there was a defining moment in my life where I suddenly realised that actually things don't have to be this hard. And it was like a massive relief, but like an eye-opener, thinking, wow, okay, I looked back on my life realizing I'd been really doing things the hard way. And when I became a master practitioner of NLP and I studied to be a hypnotherapist, that kind of compounded my experience in business with HR and my coaching and my training experience. And then I kind of merged it all together and thought, hold on here, we're still doing a reactive response to mental well-being. There's a lot of that. We kind of know about it and we deal with it when it becomes a problem. But are we really awake to doing things before it becomes a problem? And so I started to use these tools that I gained on myself and pulled myself through some really heart-wrenching moments using these tools: grief, loss, fear, uncertainty, all kinds of things. And I was like, I helped businesses to do it too, you know, salespeople to double and triple their performance, cultures to radically change. And I just thought everybody needs to know how to do this. Everyone needs to know how to live from within and control their mind and feel in the driving seat. So I basically had a vision to create something scalable where everyone could learn this. And that's my passion, really, is to actually share it with everyone everywhere so that we can all step up and kind of lead ourselves and lead our life in that place of harmony and have the tools when we are faced with challenges. We know how to get ourselves into that place of feeling good again. So I've really discovered that when you have self-development in your life, you're happier and you achieve more. So that's why I started Life Ladder. And one of my clients who I helped to grow their business, they actually agreed that the world needs this as well. And they wanted to join in and invest so that we could build a global platform. So now we are the global hub for stepping up to your true potential.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, There's loads of stuff in there I'd like to dig into a little bit if possible. Firstly, it sounds like we have quite similar backgrounds in terms of learned HR and training and all of that sort of stuff, which is great to hear. But when you said about life, doing life hard, the hard way, and it doesn't have to be hard, I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that, particularly within recent months, in feeling that, why does everything feel so hard? Why does everything feel that it's a struggle all the time? And, you know, that, God, can't I catch a break? You know, well, when is a bit of good luck going to come? That type of, you know, feeling where you're struggling and it's difficult to be putting one foot in front of the other. What is that? What did that look like? If you don't want to necessarily share your personal story, what does doing life the hard way actually kind of look like in terms of your perspective?
Yeah. Thank you for asking. I think for me, it was really just thinking I had to do everything. Like I was running around in a doing kind of pattern. If there was an alien looking down on me, they would have seen this person frantically, you know, like running around, desperate for solutions, when actually I didn't even give myself the space to find the solutions from the inside. I was looking for the solutions on the outside. And so for me, the hard way was when there was a challenge, it felt like something I had to overcome, or that the circumstances were affecting me rather than me believing in myself that I could overcome those circumstances. Mm-hmm. And it happens everywhere. It happens in businesses as well. You know, often if someone's underperforming, the block will usually be in the mind and what you believe about what you can really do, even against the odds. Mm-hmm. And when I realized it, I started achieving things that kind of defied all the logical possibilities. So now the ease I've discovered is how to work with your mind.
Mm-hmm. All starts there, doesn't it? Yeah.
It really does.
Talk about the life ladder. What specific areas are we looking at? Are we looking at all areas of our lives?
Yeah. Okay. So life ladder is built on the principle that everything we do personally and professionally is affected by 7 core areas of our mind. So what we've built essentially is a hub where you can learn the tools and get the benefits of premium coaching, but learn those tools to be able to self-coach and be educated every day to almost clear those blocks out of those 7 areas of the mind. And as it's like the maintenance, you know, it's a bit like when you go to the gym, it's a membership for physical wellness. And when you do it regularly, you have a really good physical experience. And this is like the version for the mind, you know, the mind for the gym mind. So when you do it regularly, through those 7 core areas, you have an aligned harmony within yourself. So one of our steps is memories, and another step is decisions. So to give you an example, if you were to decide to get fit, you know, you really want to get fit, you decide and you think, oh, that's it now, I can do it. Yeah. But then in your memories, you've got a collection of experiences where you failed or you really struggled. Then your memories and your decisions work a little bit against each other. So there's a subconscious block that could get in your way. So by learning these 7 steps and making it a daily practice to learn the tools to manage these areas of your mind, you can go out and achieve the things you want, discover your true potential, and unlock what's really inside of you, because you've got the whole of your mind working in the same direction. So you can rise above the challenge, any life challenge, personal or professional, and prevent your future challenges as well.
I see. I think obviously, you know, memories is a really, you know, good way of just describing that in terms of how our past can affect our future. I can certainly relate to that in terms of exercise and many, many other things. So I guess it's a kind of like belief, there's a belief rewiring in terms of neuro-linguistic programming techniques. Are they used within the self-coaching?
They are used, and the actual principles is taught so that people can step up and do it for themselves. Mm-hmm. So there'll be every single day, there's content, videos, audio, activities that help people to look at their life personally and professionally, and do something that day that almost does like a software upgrade. It's like realigning how they look at the world so that they can live their best life. And there's daily practices which makes it a habit.
I see. So when did this launch?
We launched in lockdown, which was a little bit of a challenge. But actually, it's the best time, really. I'm so pleased that we did. Everyone told us we couldn't launch for about 7 months, but we decided we could if we didn't have to believe that circumstance or reality. So we went for it and we launched in 3.5. And I'm so glad because I feel like now is the time when we can really help people and businesses to get ahead of the curve as to what's going to come later and actually learn these tools to help us move through this and thrive, really.
And who's your audience primarily for this?
Well, we look after individuals and corporate. So for businesses, they can give this to their staff so that they have better wellness. And individuals, we're looking really to help anybody that either is really passionate about personal development, that someone that knows that they want to improve themselves or their life and they're just not sure where to start. You know, maybe they've looked into coaching, but they haven't got the time or the money to go off on a course or have lots of coaching sessions, but they do want to start getting control of their thoughts and their feelings. And we're an affordable, flexible version.
That's great. So accessible to many.
Yes.
And I'm sure, you know, in terms of the needs right now for this type of thing, the increased need for support in these areas, it's, you know, it has been a good time for you to launch, which is really great that you made that decision and you did that. So there are some things that that you have available for people, aren't there? So there is actually a 7-day free trial.
Yes. So you can go and check out the platform, see the content and get 7 days of personal development for free. So if you go to lifeladder.com and sign up, there's an automatic free trial. So and you can experience where the whole platform, where you can set your own goals. You can sign up for the workshop as well. We have monthly workshops and you can get 7 days worth of content for free.
Okay, so there is a live element to it as well.
Yes, there's live online workshops every month.
Okay, great. Because I'm thinking some people like that interaction and that they have that need for that sort of community element. So that's fantastic. And so, what types of subjects have you got for the workshops in terms of the things that you're running?
Our theme at the moment is self-leadership. Our next workshop is called Feedback, Fabulous or Fierce, so that we can actually learn to express our voice and have more harmony in our life around us, in our relationships. And I think some of the topics coming up this week is about how you actually delegate and use your mind to achieve things for you rather than trying to process everything consciously. But we will be posting content calendars every Monday on our social channels. And so, but go in, check it out, because you'll see the up and coming content when you go to the free trial. And it's all about every single day is a new fresh content from our expert coaching team. There's no day that's ever the same. So you are consistently stepping up to improve and grow.
Wow, that's fantastic. Really, really great. Really great. And there's something else that you have put together just for Radio Reverb listeners. Is that correct?
Yes, there is an exclusive discount. So I would like to offer 35% reduction for any listeners and for anyone that wants to sign up before 9 o'clock on Sunday. Well, actually, now I know when I'll make sure that it's the 23rd of August.
Right.
And I'll give a discount code. So if when you sign up, you use the discount code Radio Reverb, then you can get your 35% discount.
That is awesome. Thank you so much for doing that. We really appreciate that. For anybody who is listening to this show, if you are struggling in these areas and you really want to give your mind a workout and, you know, really understanding that it is the source of it, it's hard for us. I mean, gosh, I've been in personal development my whole blooming career and still, you know, the pressures of lockdown have had an impact and I've been reactive to those things, even though I've had all of those, you know, those tools. So it's a journey, it's a process, it's always a work in process, but to have that type of support is fantastic. So Thank you so much, Natalie, for coming on the show. It sounds really, really great. Go check out Life Ladder and take advantage of that discount because, really, really great opportunity. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. Thank you so much, Helen. Really loving being here. Thank you. Oh,
awesome. So you're listening to Brighton's Business Show on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. You can catch it on DAB Radio and on the website radioreverb.com. I am taking the driving seat with the Business Show today with my co-host Lisa Moore. We've just been speaking to Natalie Rhea. And now I'm going to speak to Ronan Finnegan. Now, when I found out about what Ronan was doing, I was really, really intrigued and excited to have Ronan on the show. He's the founder of Space Bands, which we will talk about in a minute. He's also a TED speaker. You have won a Fundraising Hero Award a few years ago. So a true entrepreneur. Full of ideas, and you launched Space Bands. Well, I'm not sure how many weeks ago now, but it's been going for just a few weeks. It's not been long, in response to what's been happening. So welcome to the show, Ronan. It's really, really lovely to have you here.
Oh yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
No worries at all. So Ronan, first of all, yeah, tell us a little bit about, I guess, the journey of Space Bands. Obviously, it's quite in its infancy because of what's happening, but just tell us a bit of the story behind it, if that's okay.
Sure. So as lockdown hit, myself and my best friend Harry were speaking to a couple of our friends who are teachers, and they realised there was a real, real issue, which is now currently in the headlines, but this is going 2 months back, that when kids would go back to school, they would not socially distance. Like, it's such an innate thing, it's not a natural thing to do. And for adults, it's hard enough, but for kids, it's second to none the most difficult thing to do, to stay away from your friends. So Harry and I tried to find a solution to this problem, and we created Space Bands, which are wearable tech that you wear as a sort of a wristwatch that will beep and vibrate when you get too close to another person. So rather than having to be told off by your teachers to say, get away from your friend, your band will just beep and vibrate, and it gives you a polite notice to step back. So we had invented these purely on the basis initially that we would be putting them into schools. But as a result of some of the press coverage and stuff we've got of late, we're actually bringing it to the wider market, and we're trying to get into sort of manufacturing plants and care homes and other places in group environments where socially distancing really will help, like, elevate any concerns and get rid of it, sort of anxieties of returning back to normality.
So let's just take like a step back. So in terms of the actual technology that this band uses, did you already have that technology before this happened, or was this just something that you then researched and found in response to?
No, it was completely fresh. It was really a case of Harry and I speaking over the phone and thinking, how can we do this as quickly as viably possible? So I'm totally honest with you. I got a Microsoft Paint on my computer, drew a battery, and started building out the circuit by using the internet. The internet is a wonderful place. You can find anything and everything as long as you look hard enough.
It's incredible. So that was that. And so from that idea, how long did it take to actually produce the band?
I mean, the product has been in development for about, I'd say, maybe 6 weeks. We've gone through prototypes and prototypes with our manufacturer. We've worked with multiple manufacturers in the process too. But we finally got to a point now where we've launched Space Bands. We launched 2 weeks ago with a product that we are confident will completely help social distancing.
Which is absolutely fantastic. You know, that's awesome. And the fact that it's going to be taken out to the wider market as well, because, you know, I've got school age kids. My son is 5 and my daughter is 8. The hardest thing for them during this whole thing has not been able to be close to their friends. It's just my daughter in particular has really, really suffered from not seeing people and not being able to connect with them. So I think, I don't know, something like this, it almost makes it like safe. I don't know, that I can just imagine. I was talking to my daughter about it before today, and I asked her what she thought of it, and she said, well, it kind of makes it feel safe because then we know. And you know, it's so what sort of sound does it make?
I can give you a little example if you want. Yeah. I've got two here, so hang on. click them on. You have to give me 10 seconds to get them to turn on. So here we go.
Okay, so it looks like a watch.
Like a watch. And then when you turn it on, and then you move them away, and they stop.
Gosh, that's quite a beep, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the beep is customizable. You can choose whether it's going to just vibrate, whether it's going to beep every second, every 5 seconds. That's on the most extreme version. So, I mean,
I'm just imagining.
I was just going to ask as well, actually, because I can imagine, especially in an infant environment or a junior school, you've suddenly got all these children coming together. Is that the noise is potentially going to be, oh my gosh. So presumably you can turn it on and turn it off so that the teachers aren't going to just go and have a head.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was the most extreme version I could possibly give you to ensure that you can hear it through my team.
A vibration is a good thing, isn't it? It's like my Fitbit, you know, when I haven't moved my bottom for an hour, you know, like it goes, and I'm like, oh, I've got to get up and do something. It's like a nudge, isn't it?
Sure. And also the teacher can control every single device within their classroom, or the boss at the factory or the office manager can control every single device within that small enclosed space and can mute them all in the press of a button. So if the kids are going out to play, they can turn them all back on so they stay away. If the kids are sat in their classroom and they're sat two meters apart, you just flick them all off. It's as easy as that.
Fantastic. That's really great. So is it actually going to be launching on a particular date, or?
So we launched about 2 weeks ago, a week and a half. And we're just kind of getting off the ground with it. We're really trying to get attention of the government to bring it into state schools. We've already sent out various emails, and we're kind of reaching out at the moment to independents. And then now, as I said, we're reaching out to a wider market in manufacturing, care, office spaces, and other group environments. It's been a real whirlwind. Neither Harry or I saw ourselves in this position when we had that first phone call 2-3 months ago, and here we are.
I was just going to ask you, Ronan, so what's your background? How have you got a background in tech and software and product design and things like this, or has this just come out of a fantastic aha light bulb?
So I have a little bit of a background in it. So when I was, I'm currently 25. When I was 18, I invented an alarm clock app that donated to charity when you press snooze.
Oh, I love that. That's brilliant.
And then as of that, I had built an app where if you don't go, you tell the app your gym routine, and if your phone isn't at your gym when you said you were going to start your workout, you donate to charity. Mm-hmm. So there's my kind of tech background. And then I've done various digital marketing sort of work as a freelancer for the past 6-7 years. So I have quite a broad knowledge digitally. And then this was kind of just putting all of those elements into one and building something from the ground up.
I love that idea of the snooze button, because my background is personal training and health and wellness. And I talk about hitting the snooze button a lot with people about their morning routines and making sure that they don't hit the snooze button and they get out of bed. And actually, I think that's a fantastic way to help others, but also to encourage people to get out of bed and do their morning routine. So, great idea.
Great incentive, isn't it, for people? And didn't you have another company? Is that right?
Another company. So yeah. Harry had also, he worked in social enterprise. So Harry had started making a company that would make fruit juice out of misshaped fruit called Frugly. So we both kind of had quite an average to above average element of business background behind us. So when we put ourselves together as best friends of the last 20-15 years, it kind of just made sense to kind of get Spaceband going.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. Really, really great. And I love the idea of Frugly. Those poor misshapen fruits. Yeah, they don't need to be left out. This is awesome. So I guess, you know, for anybody listening to the show that may be able to help you, what support are you looking for to really take this to where you want it to go?
So you can either visit www.spacebands.co.uk and you can try a band for yourself. But otherwise, our real missions at the moment are trying to get attention of the government. If you feel that this band would be beneficial to your local school and like any sort of group environment in your local area, contact your local MP. Doesn't mean you need to push us in their face, but just to make them aware, like, we're trying to reach out to the Department of Education, not just for our profit, more that we just know that our bans will save the anxieties of so many pupils and teachers, but it's just getting in the faces of the right people in order to make that truly happen.
Yeah, exactly. So anybody hearing this, please do take action, get involved. So the website, your website is spacebans.co.uk?
www.spacebans.co.uk.
And you're on social media?
Yeah, at spacebans.uk.
That's it. Great. Oh, well, thank you so much, Ronan.
You're very welcome. Thank you for your time.
And hear about this great innovation. You know, in lockdown, I've been giving a few talks because a lot of what I do is obviously I help people share their ideas with the world. I help people share their ideas and their stories with the world through TED is one of those things, but also just generally anybody that has, you know, a story or an idea, I really like to support them to share it. And in lockdown, I've given a few talks about lockdown being an incubation period for your ideas and how it's been actually a really good opportunity for you to think creatively and to open up that part of your mind where you can solve problems and really do something with it, whatever it might be. You know, my stepdad has written a book in lockdown, a memoir of his life. Now, until I started reading this, I had no clue of the life he's led, but it's been a fantastic thing for him to actually produce. And it's not, you know, he's not going to sell it on the mass market, but it's for his family. And just that example of, you know, what is your lockdown legacy? What is your lockdown legacy going to be? And it doesn't have to be a huge thing. It doesn't have to be an invention. It could just be a new idea or a twist on an old idea or something that you really feel passionate about to say that might help people. Or maybe you feel it's time to share your story. It's time to step up, as Natalie says, you know, and what is that? So I guess it's just, that's just made me think about that in terms of anybody listening today. What is your lockdown legacy going to be? And I say, it doesn't have to be a grand thing. It could just be, gosh, I actually managed to survive and homeschool my children, even though I'm not a teacher, which I've discovered I am not. Or, you know, whatever it might be, there will be something that's come out of this that has forced you to think differently or enabled you to think differently. And there's a concept of tortoise mind, harebrain and tortoise mind. The tortoise mind is what comes out when we are given the ability to create space. So you might be in the shower, you might be walking the dog, you might be half asleep or awake. And usually we're in harebrain all the time, and lockdown forced more of the tortoise mind to come out. I've been speaking to so many people who think, oh yeah, well, I came up with an idea for a new service or a new way of offering my services. I've spoken to so many businesses that innovated and flipped. You know, there's a company up in Sussex, Tully's Farm. Don't know if you know of it. I think we've mentioned it on the show before, but they were doing events. They stopped having a farm shop years ago, and they were just doing these huge events. And of course, when lockdown happened, their whole events business shut down. So what did they do? They created a drive-through grocery store where they got all the fruit and veg, all the products. People drove through, they placed their order, they got it put in their boot, and they drove away. And they've been absolutely killing it. So just, we got the news yesterday, we're hitting a recession. You know, what that doesn't have to mean the end to your business. How can you be thinking creatively, be thinking differently about what your people need and how you might be able to flip that or create a different angle on it to offer them something that they really need right now? What do you reckon to that, Lise? You agree?
I absolutely agree, Helen. Yeah, I think it is. And it's been wonderful over the last 4 months. I know it's been tough for a lot of people and it's going to continue to be tough. But you hear all these amazing stories and how people, I think having that lockdown period, it gifted people that time, isn't it, to get into that tortoise mind. And they came up with all these amazing ideas. And we've heard that already from both of our speakers, Ronan and Natalie. It's like, incredible. Yeah. So, you know, out of the face of diversity becomes greatness. And yeah, I think we're going to see a lot more in the next, you know, few years to come.
Definitely. Yes, I'm excited because as a TED curator, you know, we've just had the application deadline close on the event that I'm curating, inundated with applications for the event that's happening next year. And some of the ideas that people have that they've submitted are just awesome. And I really, truly believe it's because of this time period. And we were going to extend the date, but I said, no, let's keep it at this so people can actually be really using this time. And I think, I predict next year, when we can have events where we can maybe socially distance, and it could happen, that the TED stage is just going to be bursting.
Absolutely.
Not just the TED stage, any like industry event stage or virtual stage or real life stage. So I'm really, really excited for that. But thank you so much, Ronan, for coming on the show. Really, really appreciate it, and can't wait to see what happens with Space Bands.
Anytime. Thank you.
So you're listening to the Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. My name is Helen Packham, and I am here today with my co-host, as always, Lisa Moore, to be bringing you some really great inspiration and stories and innovation of all the fantastic things that are happening for people in and around the area, for business owners and entrepreneurs. And next, I'm going to be speaking with Hayley Field. Now, Hayley Field is also known as the Food Ninja. And I am in a community on Facebook called Coffee with Dan. I've been in there many years. I've been friends with Dan Meredith for many years. If you don't know who he is, check him out. He's crazy, but he knows what he's talking about. That's how I came across you, Hayley, because I think you're a guest expert in there. Is that correct?
I helped Dan with his nutrition last year.
Fab. And obviously it's a fantastic community in that group, full of entrepreneurs and business owners. Obviously Dan was Brighton based, he's not anymore, but you are, and you've moved here recently. So welcome to the show, Hayley.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
How are you finding Brighton?
Well, it's odd because I moved in the middle of lockdown. I moved here on the 1st of May. So it's been a bit strange because I only know, I actually know my landlady and her husband, and those are the only people I know. And there's been no events to go to go and make friends. So it's been a bit weird, but I'm kind of settling in now.
Yeah, I can imagine. Really, really tricky time, and everybody's in their houses and can't go out and socialise to be moving. But a great thing to do, right? Because I don't. Where did you live before?
So I moved back to the UK last year, and I hadn't really lived anywhere. So I was staying with my daughter for a little while. Then I went to go stay with a friend in Nottingham, which is where I lived before I moved to Ibiza. But I realised I couldn't really make up my mind where I wanted to live. And then I realised that I really needed to be by the sea because I really missed it. Because I lived in Ibiza for 5 years, so I was never more than like 20 minutes away from the sea. And I'd stayed with Dan last year. He'd flown me over from Ibiza to stay with him to help him out. And I'd really loved Brighton and not far from London. Like, Ibiza's amazing, but there's not a lot of stuff that goes on unless you go clubbing. So there's no theatres, there's not a lot of cinema, there's no live music, there's no festivals. So I wanted to be near the sea, but also where there was a lot of stuff going on. So it's a perfect choice.
Yes, absolutely. Particularly in this weather. I mean, lockdown for me, I live 5 minutes from the beach. I'm just a little bit further over near Shoreham. Live 5 minutes from the beach, 5 minutes from the downs, and it was my saviour, absolute saviour during lockdown to get out into nature that way.
Yeah, I saw, it's actually, I was quite pleased that everything was closed when I moved, because I think if everything had been open, I would have spent time kind of like going to town, going shopping, but instead I've just been walking like literally miles, like in any direction, just to see what's around. So it's been quite a nice way of finding my way about.
And we'll have to meet up. It'd be lovely to...
Definitely, that'd be so cool.
Yeah, that'd be really nice. So tell us then about the Food Ninja and how she came to be.
Okay. Yeah, it's a bit of a, I guess, a bit of a strange story. So I worked as an IT consultant for 20 years. So I worked for people like Deloitte and E.ON and managed lots of projects, mostly around software, but to do with like business change and stuff as well. And I was a contractor at the time, but I got really into fitness. I've always been into fitness. I've been a professional pole dancer and I've played like rugby and been an amateur boxer and all sorts of things. So I've always had an interest in it. And I started doing CrossFit and I met a personal trainer who was doing, it was called a clean eating challenge at the time, which now obviously I think is horrendous. But at the time, that's kind of, you know, CrossFit people love clean eating. And I sort of...
Hayley, sorry to interrupt. Why is a clean eating challenge horrendous? Just for anybody who might not know.
Yeah, because I really hate that people attach morality to foods. It really annoys me. And all this kind of culture of good foods and bad foods, slimming world that calls things sins, cheap meals, all that kind of stuff. I like cheap meals are basically normalizing binge eating, you know. It's just all this kind of morality around food is just horrific. It really messes up people's relationship with food.
That's really interesting. At least obviously this is
I know we're on Zoom and nobody can see. I'm sitting here with my thumbs up going absolutely, and I agree with you, Hayley, 150%. I hate all this. It's this, you know, this is your sin and you can have a treat meal. And it's not about that at all, is it?
No.
Really interested to hear what you've got to say.
It's like I say to my clients, you don't need to treat yourself with food. You're not a dog. I usually say it in slightly stronger terms, but I'm aware of the fact that I'm on the radio today.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
So, as I was saying, I went to CrossFit and I helped my personal trainer out with the challenge. And he was like, well, you know, you're really good at this. You should do this as a career. And so I started doing a nutrition qualification, but I thought I was contracting at the time, which, like, I don't, you know, as an IT contractor, that's a lot of money. And I was kind of like, probably not going to, you know, I hated my job, by the way. But I was just like, well, it's really hard to kind of give that up. But then in 2014, I actually broke my back. So I had a condition called spondylolisthesis, which I knew nothing about, which is where your vertebrae, some of your vertebrae are out of line with the rest of your spine. And it's a birth defect. You're born like it, basically. But I, having quite an addictive personality, that's another story. I kind of became addicted to sort of training and eating really well. And I basically overtrained and I broke my back. So I then lost my contract because I was just a contractor, obviously, and I didn't really have a lot of kind of sick pay and stuff that I'd put aside. So I got quite depressed because I'd been a super, super active person, and all of a sudden I was bed bound because I had to wait 5 months for my surgery just in bed. On all sorts of medication, morphine, gabapentin, like patches of morphine, because I had to be constant supply of morphine. So my personal trainer, I think, kind of saw that, she's probably not in a good place mentally. So he sort of encouraged me to help people out at CrossFit. So people would then come round to my house and sit on the end of my bed and have consultations with me. So I started my business like that, like with my laptop just on my bed, basically, while I was off my face on morphine. So that's kind of how I got my first few clients. And then I had my surgery. I had spinal fusion surgery. So there's a lot of metal work and stuff in there now, bolting it all together. And it kind of grew from there. But that was in the November, and then I think I didn't realize how much the surgery had affected me mentally, and rather than kind of face up to my problems, I ran away to Ibiza impulsively. I went to visit my friend for 3 weeks and then I didn't come back for 5 years. So then I started running my business in two languages because I couldn't speak Spanish when I got there. And if you want to survive in the winter as well, you have to speak Spanish because otherwise there's no work for you. So I started trying to kind of write meal plans and recipes in Spanish and have Spanish clients and stuff, which was a massive stressful learning curve. And then, to kind of cut a long story short, I then opened a cafe out there, like healthy eating, meal prep. That was just a nightmare. It's the most expensive place in Europe to be self-employed. The taxes are terrible. I call it the cafe that nearly killed me, because it basically did nearly kill me for the stress. And then I decided I'm just going to close the cafe, go completely online. And I'd been doing that for 4 or 5 months, and that's when I met Dan. He's really helped me in terms of shaping what that online business and service looks like, and how, and you know, it's evolved quite a lot, because at that point, after going through that with my business, I knew that I wanted to help business owners. And obviously he's a very successful business owner, and it was a good insight into what kind of particular problems and stuff they have. So that really helped shape the service that I provide now.
Oh, that's wow. my God, that's what a story. That's incredible. And to have to go through all of that, what a really fantastic example of resilience and just keeping on freaking going, and also testing new things and trying them, and if they don't work, just trying something else. You know, I think a lot of people, they get knocked back when they're running a business, and you know, they launch something and it doesn't work, and they think, that's it, I've failed, I'm rubbish, I'm no good. I've launched many things that haven't worked. It's just about, it's this NLP model: test, operate, test, exit. Yeah. Where you know, you just got to keep testing these things. And fantastic, Katie, that you know, you came to a place where online is what worked for you. Online is what worked for you in the beginning, when you were in your bed and you had people come and have consultations with you, and you had your laptop, to now where it's 100% online.
Yeah.
And you're helping people. And I'd just like to make an observation, actually, because I was looking on your Instagram yesterday, and
you're not easily offended.
No, not at all. Oh, come on, I'm friends with Dan, come on. And obviously it's really clear that you have embraced yourself within your brand.
Yeah.
And I think that's fantastic, and I think a lot of people struggle with that. Was that something that you did from the beginning, or has Dan helped you with that, or how did that evolve?
That was, that's interesting actually, because when I, obviously coming from the corporate world, when I first started in my business, I thought I had to be super professional. Yeah, I hated being in the corporate world. I didn't fit in at all. I was tolerated because I was good at my job. I think that was about it, basically. So when I first started, I thought I had to be, you know, super professional. Not that I'm unprofessional now, but I mean, kind of, you know, even writing stuff, it was all very, because I did a lot of Prince 2 project management, documentation, yeah, all that kind of stuff. And then I started to be a little bit more myself, but I was terrible in terms of not wanting to be seen. I didn't want to be seen online. I would never do video content or anything like that. But when I talked to my clients, I would be really, really comfortable. And obviously when I met Dan, he made me realize that actually being yourself in your business is an asset. We're quite similar, Dan and I, in our kind of approach to things and the way we speak and stuff like that. And it really did inspire me to see someone like, he's a little bit like me, because I didn't think there were many people like me around, especially not in, you know, the nutritionist niche, where everyone's very like wearing frilly aprons and cooking on their agas and stuff. So that was really inspiring to me. And then, so I started to kind of like, the way I talk to my clients, I just started to talk like that on social media. And then you will know her, obviously, Helen, because she's from that world. I met an amazing lady called Gina Sabini Roberts.
Yes.
She did my branding for me. Yeah. And she was kind of like, you should just be yourself. And she did this amazing branding. And you never really understand the power of branding. I didn't tell her what I wanted, but she kind of went into my brain and pulled out something that I didn't even know that I wanted. It's genius the way she does it. It's some kind of magic thing. I don't know what it is. But when I had this branding that I felt really represented me, it made me more me, if that made sense. And it made it so much easier to just be who I am on social media, because I felt like, you know, I had all of the stuff around to support it now.
That's fantastic. But with that, so for me, it was exactly the same thing. I had so much corporate armor when I first launched my business, and shedding it and actually just being more me really, really helped. I feel like I've dipped in and out because of the nature of some of the work I do that really needs a very, very professional image. I struggle with it sometimes because, yeah, you know, the true me is very much like you, you know. And, but it's really great to see when somebody just embodies it and owns it. I'd imagine you that must divide view. You must have some people that don't particularly like it, and that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, it's great, because, you know, the worst area I find a lot of not very positive feedback is LinkedIn. I don't like being on LinkedIn, but my ideal client is there. I find it's like a library in there. But if I like, quite often I will post something on LinkedIn and I've had comments like, your content's really good, I don't understand why you need to swear, and why do you feel the need to swear, you know, very patronizing kind of, like, or like, on good content, shame about the language, like all of that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, if you're going to be offended, you know, I think a guy said to me, oh, you should really stop that. And I said to him, if I'm not myself on social media, if you then decide to work with me, you're going to get a hell of a shock, because this is how I talk in real life, you know, and I'm not going to water that down for anybody. So it's great that people don't like it, because I don't really want to work with people who cannot see past a few words to actually get the value out of what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm just going to pop in, because I think it's really true about being authentic to who you are. And I know when I first started my sort of speaking journey, I felt that I had to be this particular person and very professional, and tried to copy others who I admired. Yeah. And it never worked, never felt right. Then when I started to embrace just being me and speaking in my language with my very limited vocabulary, it was so much better. I felt comfortable, I felt more confident, people related to me. I think you have to be yourself. You have to be your brand. I think it's the most important thing you can be.
Yeah, I think people are so savvy about online people now that if you're not yourself, people see straight through you. Okay. It's not the same as, you know, a few years ago when people would be kind of be taken in by that. People know all sorts of, all of the tricks and the formulas and stuff. So if you're not being yourself, people pick up on it straight away.
Yeah. And also add to that, I think a lot of people get confused maybe if they're launching a business about also placing their expertise on something that isn't their area of actual expertise. I made that mistake, which is why, you know, was it last year I fully stepped into the speaking and storytelling niche, because that was my background in corporate, and that's how I help people with presentations and coaching them on the confidence of public speaking and storytelling. But it took a while to get there. And I think for some people, it's about owning it. So it's like really just owning the greatness, the potential that you have within the greatness that you have, and just sticking a flag in the ground and stepping into that. Because if you try and be somebody else, if you think, oh, I want to be that business coach like so-and-so over there, but that's not what it is that you're, you know, then it's not going to work. So, but also just really... Yeah, take off the armor and be yourself, because that's what's going to attract people to you, because they'll like you, they build a relationship with you, know, like and trust, all of that sort of stuff. And it really works. So Hayley, tell us, how can people work with you? How can people find out more about you?
I'm actually having a new membership site built at the moment. So in terms of websites and things, there's not really anything there. But I am quite active on social media, on Facebook, mostly on my personal profile. So I do a Facebook Live every weekday at 11. And I'm also on Instagram as well.
Cool. Excellent. And in terms of how people can actually work with you right now?
Yeah, so what I do, I mean, I call myself not just a nutritionist, so I think it's important to get that out there that I don't write meal plans and stuff like that. And actually my service has evolved quite a lot. So I started off as a nutritionist, But then I realized that people weren't really talking to me about food. So now I help business owners with all areas of their health. So we look at, you know, your body, obviously maintaining a healthy weight, being fit to run your business, physically fit to run your business. We look at brain stuff like cognitive ability, executive function, because all of these things are impacted by your behaviors. Then we look at managing stress, resilience. I'm also an NLP practitioner, so I was interested to hear what Natalie was saying. I'm also a certified sleep science coach. I'm a CBT practitioner. So I've done those extra qualifications because I've come up against clients who've had particular problems. I'm like, I need to help them solve this, because sometimes people shouldn't be in a calorie deficit. You know, maybe you need to sort out their stress and their sleep and stuff first. So that's kind of what I do in terms of all of that. I'm quite big on knowledge as well. So empowering people to, you know, they should never need anyone else again after they've finished working with me. They shouldn't need to pay anyone else to help them with their health. So I do all that mostly one-to-one. So I'm a bit of a, I'm a bit of a full-on person. So I just do one-to-one, and I work quite intensely with people for a minimum of 12 weeks. I only have 2 spaces left for that now, though, so I'm nearly full. Which is why I am launching the membership site.
Right.
So that's a slightly easier way to work with me, more accessible way to work with me. So the one-to-one is generally, they're kind of people who've got very successful businesses, but maybe have sacrificed their health to get there. So they don't really need any help business-wise, like they've got all that sorted. But now they're kind of like, okay, wow, I've been doing this for years and my health is all over the shop. So that's for kind of those people. And then the membership is for people who are kind of aspiring to be 6-figure business owners, but they can't quite put their finger on why they can't get there. And the missing link is generally their health. Because if they're not taking care of their health, you know, they're not going to be feeling confident. They won't put themselves out there for opportunities. They're, you know, no focus, productivity, concentration, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So 2 slightly different clients.
Excellent. Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on. It's really, really great to hear your story. And I'll be getting in touch with you after the show so we can meet up on the beach for a glass of wine or something. Yeah.
That'd be amazing. Definitely. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Hayley.
Thanks.
You're listening to the Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. You can check it out on your DAB stereo, or you can check it out at radioreverb.com. So Lisa and I have been chatting over the last few weeks, haven't we, Lise?
We certainly have, Helen. Yes, on the beach.
On the beach, because... So we've known each other quite a few years now, haven't we? And our paths have crossed, you know, various times. But you took over Inspiring Talks Brighton last year.
Yeah, about 18 months ago now, actually, 18 months
ago. So monthly events, obviously online at the moment. But when it was a monthly event at near Brighton Station, coming together to hear Inspiring Talks every month. And obviously, for the last couple of years, I've been really niching down in terms of really helping people with their public speaking, people want to land TED Talks, or if they want to be confident in delivering any type of talk. And we were kind of like, let's do something together, because it really complements what we do. So we've been chatting, haven't we? And I think both our audiences, they really have a need to up their speaking game. And, you know, I meet a lot of people who maybe have given some talks and they've maybe got one type of talk, or they've got experience in a certain type of area, but they haven't really evolved their speaking experience to give them that confidence to maybe deliver different types of talks. We think about like a keynote, and we're talking virtual. Virtual conferences are happening all over the place. Virtual festivals are happening. Virtual TED events are happening. So it's not stopping. But there is different types of talks, and there's different types of needs, and there's different types of ways that you actually deliver depending on the type of talk you give. And your audience with Inspiring Talks, Lise, see, rich rich in speakers of all different. Tell us a bit about the people that come and speak at Inspiring Talks.
It's really interesting because we get a complete mix of either it's people that have never ever spoken before and it's their first step on stage. And that was true for me, actually. I did my first proper talk at Inspiring Talks. And then you've got the other sort of end of the spectrum, that people that have been going out doing talks all over the place, and they, you know, they're all set up and they know what they want to talk about. So we get a huge range of abilities and different styles of speeches. So as you sort of already talked about, you might have people that are delivering their story, their personal story. You might have people that are telling about a particular product. So different ways of speaking. And yeah. I just love, same as you, I just love people talking, you know.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah, gosh, yeah, it's this thing that I could help people with all day long and never get bored. And I think for me, obviously, it all starts with the story in my experience of working within corporates, helping very introverted leaders to present confidently. Storytelling was the key to that, to be able to deliver confidently, to be able to stand up and just be yourself, because the story that you're telling is your story. No matter what story it is, it's yours and you own it. And so therefore the confidence can come from that. So we have been chatting and we are going to be collaborating on a project where we are going to be delivering an online speaker boot camp.
Yay.
People. I've run this before myself. I've run it face-to-face and I've also run it online. But we're joining forces because we both have like some really great stuff to add to the mix so that we can help people to put together a knockout talk, whether it's, I've got like 7 different talk formats, and actually help them craft it and practice it and nail it so that they can go out there and land those gigs. Whether it be if you want to increase your impact, authority, and reach, whether you want to just really make your dent in the universe, if you want to create new revenue streams to your business, if you want to generate new leads into your business, speaking is a very, very effective way of doing that. Virtually as well as face-to-face. Obviously, nothing quite beats standing on a stage, but standing on a virtual stage can have the same impact. So watch this space, because it's going to be coming, isn't it?
End of September time, we're going to be...
Yeah, so we're really excited about that. We're going to be meeting up next week on the beach to...
We are.
About our plan for delivery.
I think one of the things that if you've never done a speech before, or you've done a few... You might go on stage, you might deliver a speech, but it's quite difficult to get that feedback, isn't it? Because you don't really want to ask the audience just in case they give you negative feedback, which can feel horrible. So, you know, one of the benefits of doing the speaker boot camp with us is that you will get that feedback. You will get that constructive information that's going to tell you, well, no, just tweak that, maybe slow down, maybe pause. It will just give you a much more rounded speech to be able to go out and deliver and teach you those tools that you can then use again and again and again.
Absolutely. You can use them again and again, the templates that you're given. But yes, absolutely. Having that feedback for me throughout my speaking and presenting and training career, having feedback has been sometimes not comfortable, but has always been really, really great for my own growth and development in actually delivering stuff. And using this magical sprinkling of storytelling to add real depth to your communication, to really engage your audience, have them hanging off your every word rather than checking their phones or, you know, disengaging from you is what we're going to be teaching as well. So watch this space for that. We're going to be sharing more information on that soon. But that brings us to the end of our Brighton Business Show August edition. Thank you again to our amazing guest, Natalie. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Really great to see you. I'll just let you.
Thank you so much for having me. I really loved it. And I'm really interested in everything you're saying about storytelling. No matter how much you learn, there's always more to learn as well. So thank you. It's been great.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ronan from Space Bands.
No problem. You're very welcome.
Thank you. And thank you to the Food Ninja.
Thank you for having me. I'm interested to hear about your boot camp.
Cool. I will be sharing more details soon. And thank you, lovely Lise.
That's right, Helen. It's lovely to see you. It's actually Oh, it's not the same as being in the studio, let's face it, is it? But at least this way, we get to talk to some amazing business owners who've got incredible ideas. I've really enjoyed today listening to everybody speak about what they're doing and how they're going to benefit the whole of the world.
Yay! And I look forward to seeing you next week in real life as well. So that's it from us today, the Brighton Business Show, 97.2 FM. I've been Helen Packham and Lisa Moore, and we will see you soon.